As I mentioned before, when we thought Janet was going to be gone for a few weeks and we weren't quite sure who our supply pastors were going to be, I looked to my library and I found a really good book that I like, and it's called In Pursuit of Peace by Joyce Meyer, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with her. I'm not here to promote or demote any one author, but I do find her readings to be very, very good. And I had a friend over who was Jewish, and she commented that she's like, "You really do have a lot of books on Jesus." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, they're pretty good books to have." And I thought this was a good one of all the books I have to talk today. And so we're doing a music service, and I'm going to talk about peace because I think peace is very important to us. In today's world, peace is hard to come by. It seems everywhere we look, we see turmoil and disaster and all the things that combine to make our existence a very stressful one. To make matters worse, we often blindly follow our own paths, trying to create a perfect environment for ourselves, but we end up often failing miserably. How then can we find the calm and quiet we need to be truly content? By seeking for and immersing ourselves in God's Word. There are so many ways in which we can do this, in which we can discover ways in our lives to become content and become at peace with ourselves. Today I'm going to talk about four ways that I think are very helpful and can inspire you to pursue your own inner serenity. First of all, be at peace with God. Letting go of your worries will help you become supernaturally relaxed. I know that's easier said than done, but it seems like the world's getting busier and busier and busier. I remember when the first cell phones came out, mine was in a bag and you plugged it into your cigarette lighter in the car and you took it in every night and you plugged it in, and it was a really big deal to have a cell phone like that. I don't even think they called them cell phones. I think they were called mobile phones. And then they came out and they were on wireless, and you had to put the antenna up, and you flipped it, but you couldn't carry it in your pocket. Some of you still keep them clipped to your side. And then they came out with smaller ones, and you could put them in the palm of your hand, and you couldn't see them. But with those cell phones come all the worries of keeping up with people, keeping up with you, and you trying to keep up with everybody else. So sometimes it's nice just to turn those off and have your own inner peace with God. Another way to become at peace with God and at peace with yourself is to be at peace in your own spirit. Understanding how to strive for calm will help you overcome the mental and spiritual storms that you encounter. Everybody has their own story to tell. Everybody has their own worries and their own concerns. And the best way to do that is to just rest and sit quietly and meditate and think about what's going on in your life and what's going on in the lives of those around you, and try to come to a spiritual understanding with God. The fourth thing that you can do to find peace for yourself and with God is to be at peace with others. I know this is sometimes very hard to do, especially if you're in the workplace. I know as a teacher, when I started teaching school, it was very different. I was in a classroom, I was given a group of children, and the principal said, "Good luck, I hope you have a good school year, and we'll see you in June." And so I went in my room with my children and closed my door, and I didn't really have to answer to anybody, and no one, I was my own boss. And as things changed in education, as many of you know, test scores and funding, more and more people decided they wanted to make my business their business. And that is just the way it is in schools these days. And I know I become very impatient when I have a set way I want things to be done, and someone who might be a little less experienced or have less knowledge than I do tries to tell me how to do my job. And I think that goes for a lot of us with things that we do. I know when I was younger and my father would be working on things in the workshop, which I knew absolutely nothing about, I thought I did, and I would always try to tell him how to do his job, and he didn't like that very much. So sometimes it's nice to just be at peace with others and maintain a mindset of a positive relationship with those that sometimes we come in contact with that we would otherwise not have a very good relationship with. Everybody has a job to do, and sometimes we don't like it, but that's just how it is sometimes. Another thing that we can do is to be led by peace. Let peace lead us, discovering how peace, having a peace-filled attitude affects every aspect of our life, will help us embrace a better life. I'm sure many of you today are chomping at the bit for maybe, well, it's not 12 o'clock. We need to fix our clock in the back of the church, by the way. We're ready to hurry home and get changed, to go off to do something and to have a fun-filled day. And I know oftentimes when we have those days and we're excited about doing things and going places, at the end of our journey, we're ready to go home and we're ready to have quiet and rest. And I can speak for myself and for Kim Clark as church employees. We stay on a ball constantly. Ken as well. It just, and you all who serve on other committees and churches, it seems like when one job is finishing up, it's time for another one to start. It's never ending, but sometimes we need to say no. And we need to say, I can't do that, because you need to make time for yourself. And I don't think many of us do that, young or old. We don't say no. Today I was thinking about all the things I did this weekend. As many of you know, I was hunting down dishes. I had a dinner party last night, and I had to cook for 20 people. Friday was the busiest day of my teaching career at school, and I had to prepare a meal yesterday and get ready for today as well. So I should have said no to a couple of those things. I like it much better when I'm back there than up here. So anyway, maybe next time one of you will get asked to fill in. God tells us over and over in the Bible that we must seek peace in everything we do. And today we just heard of a couple of three or four ways that we can do that. It's very important to trust God for peace. God wants us to enjoy life, and he sees good days. He gives us every day, and he wants us to make the best out of it. In fact, in God's word, he tells us to search for peace and to seek it eagerly and to go after it aggressively. I've mentioned ways to do that, and one way is to trust God and to believe in him. It troubles me when people, you know, ask God why things happen this way. And we have to remember to put our trust in him, even in the times of pain. It's very hard to do that, but the light is at the end of the rainbow. Lastly, as I mentioned before, we want to seek God's peace, and we want to do it in a very aggressive manner. The main point I want you to remember today is that when you're pursuing peace, you need to do it in an aggressive manner. Don't wait for peace to come to you. You need to look for peace. Through Jesus Christ, God has provided everything that you need to enjoy your life and to enjoy your life peacefully. The word tells us to strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue the connection and the holiness without allowing anyone to get in your way, allowing anyone to have a blemish on the way you pursue your peace. Today, I want you to take this message and take it into your week, and I want you to think about a person that maybe you don't always get along with at work. I want you to try to come at peace with that. I want you to take time today, sometime in your busy schedule, to sit down, if it's for nothing more than 5 or 10 minutes, and do nothing. Just sit and reflect and think about your life. Thank you.